Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Luke. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Two men, Cleopas and the unnamed other. Their words and their hearts are heavy. They're making about a 7-mile journey home. They're leaving this city of horrors. They may be going home to have their own Seder meal. But they're headed back to taxes and fishing nets. Their hope for this messianic age has been shattered. They have heard the women at the tomb and what they have reported, but they do not understand it and they do not know it in the marrow of their souls. They have traveled a very long and difficult road, and now it is the end. And their memory doesn't prompt any hope for them whatsoever. They may have remembered other meals. They may have even remembered the tradition of the Passover, but their eyes kept them from recognizing Christ. And they certainly couldn't see that any future hope awaited them at all. I love this story, and every time I read it, I think, aren't we the same? Similar creatures. What happens to us when we come to the end of anything? Many things, I suspect, it might be different for each of us. But one thing I'm sure that happens when we come to the end of a thing is that we begin to see the beginning of the thing. If you think about your life now, and you think back on it, when you stand at a graduation for a child and you suddenly have this moment where you remember them as babies or as children, and in the end of this life that you've had together, you see the beginning very clearly. When we have big changes in our lives, when we lose a job and we think that things are over and that hope and despair is all that there ever will be, suddenly our life goes in a new direction, and suddenly down the road we stop and we pause and we remember the beginning of the journey. When we have the end of life of someone we love, isn't it then that we remember the beginning? We don't focus so much on who they were at the end, but who they were in the beginning and all the days with us. Think about a job or schooling or something that you started. And when you got down the road, you could not have guessed the direction that you would have gone or where you would have ended up. But you can think back on the beginning, on the moments that brought you to this place. I think about all the people who right now are going through the rubble of their lives trying to figure out where their hope is. They cannot see a new beginning in the rubble right now. All they can see is the end and the despair. And they're blind right now, as is our nature, to what awaits them. I'll tell you a short story of my walk to Emmaus. It started about 10 years ago when I came to this church. Now, there are things that you don't know about how I got here, and maybe someday when we come to the end of my journey, we'll get out a couple bottles of wine and I'll tell you all about the United Methodist Conference. But that's a different story. But I wasn't supposed to be here. I had been appointed to two other churches. But because of some things that happened, and I'll say this, some egos of some other people, it didn't work out. And so I got interviewed for this position on Tuesday evening, and I started it on Sunday. And when I came here my first Sunday, there were 40 people, 30 of about which have gone on to God's promise. To say it was an elderly congregation would be a bit of an understatement, wouldn't it, ladies? And I sat there with Lance because I told the SPR I wouldn't preach the first Sunday because no one even knew who I was yet. I thought an introduction might be appropriate. And so someone else preached for me, John Lee. So Lance and I sat right about where the Smiths are sitting, right there on the end of that pew. And as I looked around, this is what I was thinking. Lordy, 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 what in the world have you done to me? Long road. I used to come out of my office the first 2 years and look at Sheena and Elwin sitting there, and I would ask them a question about how the church did different things. And they would tell me the answer, and I would go back and enclose my door and just say, Lordy, 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 oh my God. I look up at that window of Jesus in the garden, and certainly it wasn't like that, but it was pretty bad. It was scary. And it was the beginning of a journey. the journey today, I draw closer to the end of it. There's no question. I can't do this forever. And when you get to be in your 60s, the government tells you you don't have to anymore. But the reason I tell you that story is because it's in the end that we see the beginning. I could not have imagined that down the road there would be 41 children, there would be about 150 of us, that the Spirit of God would work in our lives the way the Spirit of God has worked in our lives. In the end, we see the beginning. The two men walking to Emmaus, walking away from Jerusalem, are joined by a stranger. And the stranger begins to tell them all about the prophets. And he's not giving them a Bible lesson, brothers and sisters. He's giving them a history lesson. He is saying, can you not see? Can't you remember? He is telling them what God has done in their lives. He is asking them, have you forgotten everything already? They thought they were having a conversation with each other, but God entered the conversation and said, don't you remember? We follow the liturgical calendar in the United Methodist Church because it helps us move from the start of things to the end of things, to the beginning of things. We move from birth to death to life. And we walk it year after year after year, and it helps us keep grounded in Kairos time, sacred time, God's time, not our time. We remember that the beginning and the ending of things are God's creation instead of chronos time, ordinary time that we measure with a watch. God's Eastertide, it is the resurrection of the body and the spirit. It is our new beginning, and it is also our blessed endings. As Jesus walked along with these two men who were saddened by the loss of their friend, I wonder if Jesus, as the evening passed, looked at the night sky and saw the star, the Alpha, the Omega, the sign that marked his beginning, all life beginning and ending and beginning again. You know, hindsight is not only 20/20, but hindsight is sacred. Hindsight is the way we look back and we remember. It is a sacred way of remembering. This is not a Bible lesson today. It's a way to remember about our lives, our history. How has God worked in your life over the years? What are the things that you can pause on this moment and remember back to the beginning and just say, thank you? How God creates new beginnings even when we cannot see them at the time. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him, the scripture said, until he took and blessed and broke the bread. The two men who could not remember the beginning years ago when he taught them could now see him in the end. As he broke the bread, their hearts were burning, and they remembered. As we break the bread today, we too will remember all that God has done for us. We can pause and be grateful for every new beginning and for the sacred time that God has walked with us on our road to Emmaus. And then our prayer will be, in the beginning, God created. Amen.